On this episode with Jay Bear, we discuss what content marketing and barbecue ribs have in common and how to build thought leadership and hug your haters using video.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
What is up? Look, today we have a really exciting episode. A rock star in the world of digital marketing is going to be joining us. I've been following Jay Bear for a long time. We're both University of Arizona alums. Jay's a master when it comes to content marketing. And look, he'll have a lot to share with us about how to build influence online. And of course, we're also going to discuss his new book, Hug Your Haters, and video and how you can use video to enhance your customer service. All of that's going to happen right here on this episode. But before we get to my conversation, I want to let you know about the free worksheet that we created on how to choose profitable video topics for your business. You can get that at no charge. It's free to the listeners of this podcast by visiting wirebuzz.com/topics. That's wirebuzz.com/topics. Now let's get to our conversation. I'm joined by New York Times bestselling author and content marketing rock star Jay Bear. Hey, Jay.
What is going on? Fantastic to be here. Cannot wait to talk about the long now defunct but incredibly insightful Jay Today program.
Yeah, you know, your Jay Today show probably is one of the best examples of using video marketing to build thought leadership that I've seen executed. And after about 150 episodes of your lessons and really commentary on business and digital marketing, you ended that series. And we're going to talk about that in this interview. But before we talk about Jay Today, how'd you get started in digital marketing?
Well, I've been doing it so long, I got involved accidentally. I started in digital marketing in 1993, and I started off in politics and then started in traditional marketing, and then was working for the Arizona Department of Juvenile Corrections. We're both Arizona guys. So you may know a little bit about that. Not that you were ever incarcerated, but you may know the agency, and so I was their spokesperson. And so my job, Todd, was basically to give tours of the juvenile prison, which is not even as good as I just made it sound in the previous sentence. And I was terrible. So I was looking to do any other job, essentially. And I was having beers with some friends of mine who had started the very first internet company in Arizona. And they said, you know, this internet company is starting to get kind of big, and we don't know anything about marketing. And I said, well, that's fine, because when you say the word internet, I don't actually know what that word means. And I really didn't. But I said, I will do any job to not give another tour of this prison. So I walked in the next day and quit and ended up a week later as the vice president of sales and marketing of an internet company, having never been online, which makes for a very interesting first day. So I've only done two smart things my whole career. Convinced my wife to marry me, and we met at the University of Arizona. We both went there, you and I. Met at the University of Arizona, convinced her to marry me, and that took a tremendous amount of effort. And the only other smart thing I ever did was to get accidentally involved in digital marketing in 1993 and have the good sense to never get out.
So it's all been convince and convert since then. And look, Jay Today is a great video series. Why did you start that video series originally?
When I first started Convince and Convert, this is actually my fifth company that I've been involved in digital marketing. But when I started this company in 2008, we started off with a very robust blog, and I wrote personally 4 to 5 blog posts a week. And ConvinceandConvert.com was really Jay's blog, and so I was writing a lot, and that was really the era 08, 09, 10, where there are lots and lots of blog comments and a real strong network of bloggers, many of whom all kind of came up at the same time as I did. And so there was this whole community and lots of opportunities to comment on other people's posts and all those kind of things. But that era sort of ended, and people don't do that now. In fact, many sites take blogs off or take comments off their blogs now and all that. And so I was looking for an opportunity to share kind of quick versions of what I see and what I think. And I only write one blog post a week now. We publish 12, but I write one. It's a whole magazine now. It's not my blog. It's a whole digital magazine. And so I thought, you know, what can I do on the fly that is also on trend? Because as you well know, people are watching more and more and more and more and more and more more video, especially on mobile devices. So I said, what if I did a very, very short video and did it almost every day and just kind of what's on my mind today and let's do a video? And that became the Jay Today program.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I was just reading a study from Cisco that said something like by 2020, just 4 years from now, the video will be some 80% of all content on the internet. It totally makes sense because nobody reads anymore. How did Jay Today impact your business and ultimately the Jay Bear brand?
Well, it's funny, you know, so I do a lot of stuff, right? I mean, you know, I still write a blog post, I write books, I do speeches, I have my own podcast, I'm a guest on a lot of podcasts, we have a daily email, there's lots of things that I do.
Right.
But of all the things that I do or have ever done, the one that got the most comments from people, people coming up to me, people asking me about it is Jay Today. Video is visceral in a way that other media just isn't. I mean, it's why we still watch so much television, right? It appeals on so many different levels in ways that writing cannot and just simply audio cannot or photography cannot. So it really had a big impact. And the thing that probably helped us the most from an organizational standpoint are the lessons that we learned around content atomization and repurposing. And Jay Today was really the nucleus for that entire approach, where we took every single episode of that show and turned it into multiple blog posts and multiple podcasts. And so each 3-minute video ended up being 9 or 10 different pieces of content.
Yeah, after watching you work over the years, man, I've noticed that one of your superpowers is promotion. Can you walk me through your process of maximizing the impact of each one of those videos that you created? Because it's really been impressive.
Thanks. So the idea was, look, yeah, we can do a 3-minute video every day, and that's great, and people will like it, and we can put it on YouTube, and we did, and had subscribers, and that's fantastic. But I'm like, you know, this is a content asset. And what I tell people is the thing is not the thing. It's just the first thing, which means if your idea is a video and it's on YouTube, that doesn't mean that it is only on YouTube. It just means it's on YouTube first. So we took each episode, started on YouTube, then we turned it into, the next day, a video podcast, stripped out the audio file, made it an audio podcast, so two different podcast feeds. Then we would transcribe each episode and make it a blog post on my site, rewrite the headline, change the copy, put it on LinkedIn as a blog post, rewrite the headline, change the copy, put it on Medium as a blog post, take some episodes, translate them into a slideshow format, put it on SlideShare, take the video, put it on Facebook as a Facebook video, put it on a corporate Facebook page as a different Facebook video. So it's one piece of content that we just repackage and change for the audience on that particular channel. And so we never had a circumstance where Jay Today was massively popular in any channel. It wasn't like it was a YouTube sensation or a podcasting sensation or a Facebook sensation. It was none of those. But when you add up a strong audience across 10 channels, it becomes a real thing.
Right. You know, it becomes exponential repurposing. Mm-hmm. And each one of those pieces of content has a different life form depending on how you're using it.
Absolutely.
Right? And we all want to interact with content in the way we want to be interacted with. So you weren't reinventing the wheel. Really, really smart. I noticed that you show, I noticed that your show is very conversational, Jay. Like when I watch it and you're a frequent guest in the inbox of my email, you know, I know that you always put a lot of thought into your ideas, but you do it off the cuff. So, you know, how do you think your authentic delivery affected the success of your show? Did it?
Oh, I think no question it did. And there's some of that was operational and some of it was strategic.
Like operational, you mean by design because of the time you had?
And to circumstances, right? So from a strategy standpoint, it was, look, I'm a speaker. Like I do a lot of things and I have a consulting company and a media company and all that, but I spend most of my time day in and day out writing books and giving speeches. So if you want to do that, the more video you can put out there so that people can actually see what you're like in the real world, the better off you are. So from the very beginning, I said, look, if I'm going to do this show, I'm not going to have guests. It's just going to be me talking into the camera. And I want it to be as close to my actual persona as possible so that it doesn't feel different when I walk out on stage and vice versa. So that was the strategy part. The operations part was we shot every single episode on an iPhone, just me in a hotel room in a tripod. So there was no crew. There was no studio. There's 150 episodes. That was probably 85 to 90 different locations. It was wherever I was, I found the best light in that room and just pressed play. Never a storyboard, never a script. It was, you know, the entire script was three words, which I thought might be the headline, and then I would just turn on the camera and talk into it. Now, I've discovered since then that not everybody can do that, right? Not everybody can just press a button and in one take, you're done. But for me, it kind of fits my style, and I think was different than what you see in a lot of other video shows.
Yeah, it always came across as feeling very natural. And, you know, speaking of natural, when I led digital marketing projects at the Premier Radio Network, I was one of their annual brownie contest judges. And in utility, you mentioned that you're a member of the Kansas City Barbecue Society and a certified barbecue judge,
yes.
Right? So you might be the best person to ask this question. What can barbecue ribs teach us about content marketing, man?
Well, so the thing about barbecue ribs is that there are many different ways to make barbecue ribs. So if you go to a restaurant, okay, and you order ribs and you eat them, people will always say, wow, those ribs are fall off the bone, right? That's what everybody says. They're so tender. In competition, those ribs would get a very bad score because competition ribs are not supposed to be fall off the bone. That is a sign of a very much overcooked rib. In competition, what you're supposed to do is bite the rib, and then you're supposed to be able to see the teeth marks, right? Basically see the half circle where your bite was, and it's supposed to give a gentle tug off the bone but not come off the bone. The meat isn't ever supposed to come off the bone. So what you would think is a very undercooked rib in a restaurant is perfect ribs in competition. And that is exactly the way content marketing works as well. You mentioned it earlier. Different people have different expectations and desires for how their content is packaged. And one of the biggest challenges that I think marketers are faced with today is they either A, create something in one version and say, we're done, or they figure that how they prefer to consume content is how their customers prefer to consume content. So the best approach is to repurpose, repackage, do the kind of things we did in Jay Today so that it doesn't matter if your customers prefer one style of ribs or the other, you have content to meet their taste.
Jay, the next time you're in Arizona in Diners, Drives, and Discos, that Guy Fieri show, they featured Tom's Thumb in Scottsdale. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a barbecue place in a car wash.
Oh, I don't know that place. I'm going to be in Scottsdale next week. I might have to check that out.
Yeah, and it's right up by our office. We make a weekly visit up there. It's quite good. But I don't know if it is barbecue rib certified good, you know, from a real judge. So that would be interesting.
I'll have to check that out. Can you actually get your car washed?
Yeah, at the same time. And it's beautiful because the line there is now really long since they had the TV show. So by the time you're done, your car's waiting for you. And look, every successful online video project that doesn't involve cats starts with a really smart digital strategy. Why do brands and thought leaders need to be thinking about Facebook video strategy now?
Well, I think it's just purely the distribution is so colossal. I mean, in my new book, we talk about customer service and the state of customer service. And I actually released a stat today in the run-up to the book launch that said that 75% approximately of all customer complaints in social media are on Facebook. Now, that's bizarre because typically when you think, where do you go to complain in social media, you almost always say, well, I would go to Twitter. But almost 3/4 of all customer complaints are on Facebook. I mean, the size of Facebook and its power as a distribution vehicle are unmatched, even more so than YouTube. Plus, if you want to do Facebook advertising, it's much easier than doing YouTube advertising, and the targeting options are better. So
right.
Now, I certainly am distrustful of Facebook's video counting methodology.
Of course, you have to be.
If it's 3 seconds, it's a play, which is ridiculous because you can just scroll past it on timeline and counts as a view. That is ludicrous, and I hope they change that at some point. But not 5 minutes ago, before we started speaking, I did an unboxing video of my new book. The book just came today, just an hour ago. Did a quick unboxing video on Facebook, turned on the camera, Facebook Live, which I have access to. Here's me opening opening the box of books for the first time, and I've got dozens of comments, hundreds or thousands of views, boom. You know, it was even easier than doing Jay Today back in the day. I literally just hold my camera in my face and press one button.
Yeah, it is pretty cool, the power of video and telling your story, but really listening. You know, I'm a big fan of listening to my audience on social media and other places where they hang out, and there's a reason we were given two ears and one mouth, right? The value of using social listening to source video topics is a really smart tactic. How did you source topics as you were creating Jay Today?
So the right answer would be I listened to my audience in social media and then created a list of topics and covered them one by one. That's what you should do. And in fact, one of the best places for that information, as I do talk about in the new book, is customer service, right? If you want to know what videos you should create, go spend 2 days with your customer service department and have them tell you all the stuff that customers have asked about or complained about. Customer service is the petri dish of great content marketing, and almost no content marketers ever spend time with the customer service team. That's a huge mistake. That's how you should do it. How I did it was whatever bothered me or I thought was inspirational in the hour before I shot the show, right? So there was literally no plan. It was, what am I interested in right now? Turn on the camera and talk into it. That's not how you should do it, because it is a very much of a high wire act at that point.
Yeah, and a lot of us, you know, I learned this when I was on KTAR and KFY in Phoenix. If I'm winging a show, I'm generally taking the day off, like mentally. And that ultimately creates a poor program and poor value to the audience. You know, but fortunately, you were noodling, I'm sure, most of this information as you were going about your day, and something was interesting and you knew you could shed a significant light on the topic. And so it didn't show off to the audience that you were winging it when you had to. But you mentioned something really interesting about customer service reps, and they really are the ones that have the pulse of the customer, and they get the common objections and pushbacks and the frequently asked questions. And that really is where a lot of those video topic ideas come from, especially when you can decrease those customer service time by creating videos that answer some of those questions.
Absolutely.
So they can just follow up with a simple video and let that video give them the tutorial. Is that valuable?
Oh, it's hugely valuable. I mean, the best customer complaint is one that never has to be asked because it's answered already with video or with content. Not to mention the fact, it's not really a marketing circumstance, it's a customer service circumstance, but if you are in customer service and you do get a customer complaint, an angry customer, answering that customer with video on Facebook, on Twitter, even emailing a quick video to a customer changes the temperature of that interaction dramatically. Because once you can humanize the company and say, I know you're mad at the company, but I'm Todd, I'm a real person, I just made this video to explain to you our situation, it takes the whole thing off boil. And we're starting to see more and more evidence of companies doing that, saying, look, don't just write somebody back, shoot a quick video just on your phone, email it to the customer, and it makes everybody chill out.
Yeah, it's pretty ingenious the way you can do that and take logs off the fire and win a friend. And that really brings us to Hug Your Haters. You know, it's the first ever customer service book for modern times. It's based on the realities of the customer expectations today that aren't based on expectations from 20 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about your book, Hug Your Haters?
Yeah, so we wrote this book, my research team and I, because you would think at this point that companies are really good at customer service by now. It hasn't changed much since the invention of email. And in fact, 80% of companies say that they deliver superior customer service. However, only 8% of their customers agree. So everybody thinks they're good at customer service, but no customers think that businesses are good at customer service. There is a huge problem.
Right.
So we just have to figure out why. Why? How can that possibly be true? Well, it turns out that about a third of all customer complaints are ignored, are never answered at all. But the overwhelming majority of those complaints are online. They're in social media. They're on review sites like Yelp, TripAdvisor, ApartmentRatings.com, whatever, Angie's List, or on discussion boards and forums. So business businesses are so focused on answering the phone and answering email, and frankly, they don't even do that very well, but they're so focused on those things that they have willfully, intentionally ignored customers in the venues where, ironically, customer service is a spectator sport. So would you rather answer the phone and deal with a customer one-on-one? And if you do that, that means you have to ignore a customer who's really upset on Facebook where everybody can watch. But that happens every minute of every day, constantly. Businesses blow off online customer service in favor of offline customer service, and they got to get that fixed.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. You know, Jay, right around the time you and I both finished at the University of Arizona, I got the most important training I got in my entire life, and it was customer service training at the Hyatt at Gainey Ranch. And I know you know where that is. I literally use it every day here with our clients. And in our 5 years of being in business, we've never lost a client. I don't even know if we've really even had a harsh word, because we listen. If somebody has some feedback, it's important for us so we can modify and be able to provide a better service going forward. And now we're starting to see that extend over into the digital space. And so our company's having to readjust their customer service outreach and how they engage socially.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, many are not. And that's why I wrote the book. And look, I understand that it takes resources. In fact, the recommendations in the book, the Hug Your Haters formula, if you will, is to answer every customer complaint in every channel every time. And that ain't easy, right? You don't have enough people to do that right now, probably. But you need to find a way to make that happen, because those customers that you are ignoring, you are doing that at your own peril. You are damaging your reputation. You are losing those customers. And in many cases, you're doing it in full view of a bunch of other potential customers. Because here's the thing, Todd, a lack of response is a response. It's a response that says, I don't care about you very much. And that's not the position that most companies want to put out there, but yet most companies absolutely do that every day.
And in a weird way, it's kind of leveling the playing field, right? Because now the customer has a megaphone that they maybe didn't have before.
Absolutely. 100% true. Some customers use that for good. Other customers, no doubt, try and use that for evil. That's one of the challenges, and frankly, one of the reasons why businesses have ignored online customer service, because they feel that in those venues, some customers are lying or trying to extort them, etc. And while that may be true anecdotally, from a math standpoint, it's barely true. You have a few bad customers, but those customers are bad, whether it's telephone, email, skywriting, or anything else. It's not as if Facebook has somehow changed your customer's morality.
Right. Jay, in your previous books, you've discussed content marketing and digital marketing, which are pretty big topics, but with Hug Your Haters, you seem to be niching down quite a bit. Is this something that you created because there was a gap in the market, or are you planning on pivoting and focusing on customer service now in the future? Can you paint that picture?
From a consulting standpoint, we're doing a lot of work in customer service and customer experience, because I believe that customer service is the new marketing. It is the thing that will differentiate businesses from one another in the future and, frankly, in the present. I don't think it's a niching down. I think it's actually quite the opposite, that there's, you know, many people are interested in content marketing. Everybody who has customers should be interested in customer service. Mm-hmm. So the scope and scale and the audience for the Hug Your Haters book is massively larger than the scope and scale and the audience for my book Utility, and the numbers already bear that out. We're still a ways away from book launch, and we've already sold a lot more books than we sold for the first week of Utility. The demand for the Hug Your Haters book is absolutely freaking out. My publisher at Penguin, they can't believe it.
Okay, so that's a great sign, because that's a really smart transition to your career, to a larger niche where you can use your skills and your digital talent to help companies and be a stronger advisor. Really smart. Now, look, in your book, you're talking about hugging your haters, but why are haters your most important customers?
Well, they really are your most important customer. The people who complain, for a couple of reasons. Number one, realize this. 95% of your unhappy customers, never ever take the time to complain in a way that you will ever find out. They might bitch to their friends or your family or whatever, their family, but you'll never know. They just disappear. They're just gone. They will never walk through your door again. 95%. So what that means is that the 5% of customers, the haters, the online complainers, the offline complainers, they're actually using their time to tell you what you can do better. And that information is so incredibly critical. That's how you get better. You know what the most overrated thing is in all of life?
Mm-hmm.
The most overrated thing in life.
Is it a compliment?
Exactly. Praise.
Yeah.
Praise is the most overrated thing, because every time somebody says, oh, you're great at this, you're great at that, you're great at this, you're great at that, it feels amazing, but it teaches you nothing. You already knew that. What makes you better is criticism. And every time a customer says, you know what, I'm not happy about this, that's an opportunity for you to get better. It is free market research. And companies that don't go out of their way to take that information, process it, and get better are in big, big trouble.
Yeah. You know, it's so valuable for you to bring that up. When it made me think of when I was a waiter, and I used to tell the manager that I specialize in dealing with difficult customers. And what I discovered is if you listen and you address what their complaint is and you do it in a timely manner, that difficult customer is actually going to let go pretty soon, and they're going to sit back and enjoy themselves. But you have to be willing to listen and address and acknowledge that you heard it and then correct the problem. And I'm sure you see the same when you get to hug your haters.
Oh, of course. I mean, so much of it is just showing up to the party. As I said, a third of customer complaints are never answered at all. You know, in many cases, all you have to do is listen and just say, we're sorry. That's it. You don't have to give them a free meal. You just be there. You know, people say that there's this notion that there's bad customers. I don't believe there's bad customers, really. I just believe that every business has circumstances where they're less than perfect. And customers are right to call you out on that.
For more information on Jay Baer and his new book, you can visit hugyourhaters.com. That's hugyourhaters.com. And it's going to redirect you to his website, jaybaer.com. You can get all the information that you need on this book. And I'm sure it's going to be a great read, especially after you hear what Guy Kawasaki said. He said, quote, Hug Your Haters is a landmark book in the history of customer service. Jay Baer, thank you so much for talking with me on Video Marketing Mastery.
Oh, fantastic to be here. Bear down.
Bear down. All right, so how cool is that? A great conversation with Jay Baer. A pleasure having him on the show. Be sure to check out our show notes. We'll have links for more information about his book, Hug Your Haters. And you can also find the show notes on our website, wirebuzz.com/9. Now, when I say 9, that's really the number 9, as in episode 9. And you don't have to spell it out. It's just the number 9. So it's wirebuzz.com/9. All right. So if you like this podcast, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. I got to tell you, the people we're booking right now, the topics that we're already starting to detail out that are going to be in this podcast are phenomenal. Subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. And then also, if you wouldn't mind, please make sure you leave a really honest rating and a review on iTunes. It would help me out and mean the world to me if you could do that. And I look forward to bringing you this topic, video marketing, really how to become a master at video marketing. And you're going to hear more of that right here on this podcast.